Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to The Art of Craftsmanship. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello, hello there. Hey guys.
Hello, Devin. Hello. All right. Devin, what do you got for us today?
I'm always going to be making costumes. It's one of the ways I relax my brain. In addition to the pleasure of having the piece, there's a deep and abiding pleasure for me assembling something in my head, learning to know something in its totality in my head, and then putting together all the parts into a cohesive whole. The costume is how we reveal ourselves to each other.
The costume is how we reveal ourselves to each other. That's kind of, I kind of like that, because what we show on the outside is a costume. You know, it's like the outer, it's the skin of your whole, you know.
In this quote, he's literally talking about costumes.
Yeah, right. The actual costume. Yeah.
Right.
Is that Adam Savage?
That is Adam Savage. Because he goes on and on, right? He always builds stuff and makes stuff and does cosplay and stuff. Oh, no, just good stuff. We don't have to wax on and on about it, but I like he's so passionate about that stuff. And I like the activity of getting together and dressing up. And that could be any, that's a lot of different things. It could be a LARP or a festival or a Celtic thing or
Halloween or,
Halloween.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just getting together looking like a group, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. Like, yeah, building a persona, building a, you know, a community. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I agree. I like what he talked about, like, you know, building a costume and having all of its parts as a way to kind of understand something more fully. I think that's that is a pretty broad approach to creation. Right, like understanding a thing better by knowing how it's put together, and like understanding each bit and piece. And you know, obviously, it's like you're not going to understand a motor unless you understand its parts, or at least you understand it's the process of how it goes. You know, it's like it's a digestive system, right? Like you put gas in and you get power out. Like there's something in between that does that. You know, but also you know, simple as like a fixed blade knife, right? It's just three things. It's the steel in the middle and then two sides that are handles, right? So it's understanding that coming together, but then just knowing those parts and knowing how flat those things need to be to come together well for a good glow bond, so you don't get any gaps, you don't get water in, so it doesn't degrade over time, and you know, hardening it so that way you get a good sharpened edge. Like all these things are more intimate about each piece, and you learn along the way. Each piece is just an entry into knowledge about that thing. That's kind of fun. And, you know, obviously talking about that, we're doing, I've been making different costume pieces, for different things and, you know, some costume stuff, some, more costume weaponry things, obviously, because swords and daggers and wooden stuff like that and leather stuff is all, you know, we're not using those things as weapons these days, unfortunately. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of stuff with costuming over the last couple weeks.
Nerd alert. Here we go.
Yeah. Well, you know, when...
This is all a setup to call you a nerd.
Nerd alert.
Who would actually do that? What a loser.
Me and Adam Savage. Oh, speaking
of... So, yeah, you're going to go into that. But I'm going to ambush you with a question real quick.
Oh, okay.
You ready for this? I got a gotcha question.
All right.
Like a real interview. Okay. Hard-hitting stuff here.
All right.
Do you want to go to Penzic?
Mm. I do want to go to Penzic. It's just not a good year for it. Just only because of like how busy we are this summer. Like I was really all into it, but then like once we realized like kind of when it was and what's around it and family camping and Crins camps and the Governor's Cup and Lake George and all these other things that happen, it's like I think we just need like I want to go, but I also if we're going to go, I want to stay for like a whole week, you know.
Yeah. And yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, and so I just don't. I mean, I guess like, you know, I'd be happy like to go for a couple of days, but it's going to be what like $200 no matter what, you know.
$190 yeah for a week.
Okay, yeah, right. So I mean, like still, if know, we go, we stay tomorrow. For, you know, we stay for 3 days and two nights. It's still $190, you know.
Well, here's my thought.
Yeah.
I might still go, but I would need someone to go with me. I'd have to get a buddy or something to go with me, and then I would just shoot stuff, you know, without you. Yeah. And you can do a voiceover later, or it can just be a walk around video or interviewing the people there video, just like a mini documentary. I would just shoot everything and get a lot of people's, you know, thoughts on stuff and then just put it together later.
Yeah. And maybe I'll talk to Nicole and see like what she thinks about. I mean, because I know she really wanted to go too. Like we all wanted to go. Once we all started talking about it, we all started really getting into it, which is the reason why I've gotten more into it. And also I've reached out to a few different living histories groups. And, you know, we've talked to one group and we're going to be doing stuff with them. With like the kind of Viking Age 900s to 1000 time period, just because that like the idea of that kind of the being authentic to a time period and so much of the stuff that I make and do is like a nod to traditional crafts.
Yeah,
that like it seems like it's just it feels like a really fun way to dive into it a little bit more. Like methodically and true to the time period, you know, we can get dressed up and go to the Renaissance Festival and it doesn't matter what you wear. You know, there's people who are dressed up as mushrooms and then people who are dressed up as knights, you know, and like, and we went as, you know, one weekend we went as kind of more Viking and the other weekend we went as more like medieval, you know? So like, but who knows really like what our costumes weren't really accurate. You know, they were just, like a nod to what people see in media, which is fine. Yeah. So it's so like doing stuff with this other group called the New Order's Wanderers. You know, they're an educational, you know, like team. So their whole point is to like reenact this time period and teach about it and like show what it would have been like for this traveling group of merchants, you know, to travel around the North Seas and have kind of a mixed group of different people from different areas, but all from the same time frame.
I have a little feeling of like it's not a LARP. It's more of like a Renaissance. It's not even a Renaissance festival. It's more like going to Colonial Williamsburg, but everyone's dressed up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh, you mean for Penzic?
I did.
Yeah. Right. And that's why I kind of like, that's why I'm like, I'm a little anxious, but I'm also excited. I mean, obviously I'm excited, but I'm a little anxious to like, you know, cause I don't know a ton about the time period, you know, just kind of our so like I'm anxious to be there and have someone like be asking me a bunch of questions about like how authentic our stuff is. But I'm also like I don't care to just be like, hey, I don't really know. This is my first time doing it, but you can talk to Craig or you can talk to Diane or you can talk to Ash, these other people who are part of the group who actually have been doing it for a lot of years and can give them a lot of good information if they have specific questions.
Right. And you can just focus in on, whatever you're doing, the blacksmith stuff.
Right, exactly. And I'll be doing
You can talk about that. Hey, this is how you build this thing by hand.
Right. Like, and I'll be doing,
if you want to know about how.
Right.
Yeah, when they came over and what happened, yada, yada, yada. That's
right.
I'm not the textbook on it. On it
yet. Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, I'm here to represent, to show, to play a character that would have been here in the time period, right? Like, at this time period, they would have had a blacksmith. And the blacksmith would be working, at, you know, making whatever random metal bits. And he would traditionally be sitting down on a stump or something. So I'll have a stump I'll be sitting on and working. And, you know, like, so those are the type of things that I wouldn't have really known, but I was told, you know, like this is what, this is like the thing. So I was like, all right, that's fine with me. I can sit down.
yeah. So I guess to wrap the Pensic thing up, I might go, but if I would go, it'd probably be the weekend. So I don't even know if we could go at the same time, even if you went during the week.
Right.
Maybe we could be together on Thursday if you left Friday morning or something, you know, because I could probably go Thursday through Sunday, something like that.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Because both of those weekends, I'm not free. You know, that weekend in between is Governor's Cup, or is it Lake George? I forget which one it is. But it's, yeah, so, okay, well, I think it would be fun to do, and for that price, you know, for $190, that's, you know, for camping for a week, that's not expensive, you know, that's like the same as state parks. That's
about right, and it's, it's, you're paying for a festival and entertainment.
Yeah,
and
right, exactly.
People in groups and parties and stuff. It's way worth its money. That's why I'm thinking, like, I just hate, I skipped Renaissance Festival like the last 2 years just because I had stuff.
Yeah, right.
And then once these things are yearly, you miss it twice. All of a sudden you've gone 3 years, you haven't done a thing that you wanted to do. And that's starting to annoy me.
Yeah,
with not doing stuff and like,
yeah, right.
But you know, that's you're super busy. It just fell on the wrong day, so maybe I'll just go. I need someone. Okay. So you know, if someone's going and they're a fan, and they want, they don't mind sharing a tent with a snoring person, I'll come and I'll show up. No, or I think maybe if I can force Guy, we'll see. Maybe me and Guy will go, and he'll just be my helper, and we'll just shoot stuff. And
like you said, your persona will be what the bumbling drunken minstrel. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Or I think I'll be the gambler.
Oh, the gambler.
Games on me.
Gambling for like free alcohol. Like, telling stories. Yeah, so you can be the storyteller. Yeah.
I'll be like $1. I'll be like $3. You have three chances to play.
Mm-hmm.
At a dollar a piece.
You gotta get some cups and a ball, you know, those things. Yeah, right.
Yeah. but yeah, stuff that's like fun. That. So anyway, maybe I'll just do it and I'll see if someone wants to come with me and I can convince someone. Maybe I can get one of the other brothers to go or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah.
Just take one camera and shoot a bunch of stuff and put something together and we'll have some content and then we'll have more base for what we can do next year.
Right. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe the way that, what Skilltree, the way they did theirs was basically they had all the footage and then they just talked about it, you know, like they were just sitting in front of the camera and talking about it.
Right.
So maybe maybe we can do it kind of that way too. You know, like maybe it's a conversation, like you and I can have a conversation about it, you know, talking about it. We can watch it and talk about it. And then, you know, maybe it's just a voiceover or what, you know, but I don't know, we'll see. Yeah. That could be cool.
Yeah. All right. So there's that. And now this weekend, big event. If people are listening now, maybe on their way to Ye Old Blade Show.
Oh, yeah. Blade Show. Yeah. So if you're listening when this is coming out, it's Friday. And there's actually probably people already down there because I think there are people that go down on Thursday. But Friday is the first day. And there's like the pit Friday night. That's when we got down. So we drove down and got down there. Friday evening, Friday afternoon, 6:30, something like that, had dinner, went to the pit, and then I spent all day Saturday in amongst the crowds, and then pit on Saturday night, and then back to back home in the morning. So everyone heading down, good luck, have fun. I'll miss all of those friendly faces that we, you know, got to meet for the first time, although we knew a lot of the people, but got to actually see people and, you know, give hugs and shake hands and stuff, and see a bunch of fans and some of our patrons, and you know, like, it was just, that was a cool a super cool experience, and I definitely am jealous, like you said, because everybody's been posting about it and getting ready, and I'm having that, you know, getting that FOMO now.
I know, me too. I think I posted on Brian House's. He had a video of like getting ready and packing his bags full of like swag, man. He's got the best. He does it right, man. He's so if you're listening and you don't know, find Brian House. Makes great grinders, housework, but he will give you a free shirt if you see him in the pit, and he will give you
right Friday a swag night
bag and a bunch of stuff. So do not miss him.
Yeah, yeah. I did have what's his Neil Warren from Maximus Knives. He reached out. I think I might have mentioned this to you. I can't remember if it was on the podcast or not, but he was asking if we were going to go, and because they rent a house, and then they have this party Thursday night, and then you know So he was like seeing if we were going to be there, because if we were, he wanted to invite us. So that was cool that he reached out. That so I appreciate is, it. But
yeah. That is trouble. I'll tell you that. Just for me, I'm now at an age where I max out at like two nights, you know, and then I'm like. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I never had it when I was young. Like, the people say there's, like, a hangover depression. You know, because all your chemicals are spent.
Yeah.
And then there's that down.
Right, yeah.
And I only started to feel that when I was starting to get older. After, like, I can only do two nights. I used to be able to do, like, a week straight, you know? Like,
yeah.
I felt good every morning and was, like, pumped up. Now I'm, like, two nights in a row, that next morning I get up, I'm just like, all right, I gotta go home.
You're more of a homebody. Well, that's the beauty of like things like, you know, Maker Camp. We'll go up and like what I did last year. In the previous years we went up on Friday, and then we were there, you know, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, drive back on Monday. So it was three nights. You know, but or was it all three? Friday night, Saturday night. Yeah, we stayed
Sunday night. Yeah, we both times we stayed Sunday night.
That's right. We stayed Sunday night and then drove home on Monday morning. And then last year I drove up on Thursday because I was presenting. I want to do the same thing again this year. So drive up on Thursday, you know, just like kind of after work or whatever. So we get up there around midnight or whatnot. And then when Sean and I got there last year around that time, there were still people up until 3 o'clock in the morning, which is great. You know, so we got there and we kind of set up our tents in the dark and then grabbed some beers and head over to the fire. And there was all sorts of people that we know and love around the fire. We're like, you know, it was great. So, so then it was Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And, I would say I didn't really get the burnout, you know, or that depression at all, but I definitely like my voice was pretty charred by the end of the weekend. You know, it's obviously like doing demos and talking during the day and then doing bow shoots and stuff and talking at night. No. So,
I'm looking forward to that big time though. So I don't know, maybe I'll come up with you Thursday or something. I'm not exactly sure.
Right.
I guess we'll go up to probably go up together.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a question. Go ahead. I was going to say, so about Blade Show, what is something that you, so since we're obviously not going, what's something that you will miss and something that you won't miss about Blade Show?
I won't miss all the knives
at Blade Show.
A lot of knives.
I won't miss all the blades.
What else? Come on.
Yeah.
Give me a shield, a gun.
There was a few people. Yeah. What was it? What's his name? I can never remember his Instagram handle, but it's the guy that there's two guys that always are, you know, they're Chris Cashes and stuff together. Those two, the two, Tiny Town Forge and then his buddy. I can never remember either of their names, but he was there at Blade Show and he had the sword like in his, you know, attached to his backpack and stuff. And I was like, can I take it off? So I pulled it on and checked it out. It was cool. Yeah. I do agree that like some of like seeing some of the other stuff, like seeing the material and the like leather and the wood and all that stuff is kind of nice. It's a little like reprieve from just the basically the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. You know, and there's, since I'm not that type of maker, I'm happy to talk about anything that people are passionate about. I'm into it. If you're into it, like, let's chit chat. This is great. And I won't be like a one word answer to a conversation. That's the worst, you know. I'll get into it with you, but it's just you know, I need to find something else to talk about with some people because I just can't do it as intelligently as I'd like to, you know?
Right. Yeah,
I just do general aesthetic things.
Right.
This feels good. This look, I like the way this is. You know, I just give them whatever compliments I can. Yeah. And I think people, they appreciate it. But there's a little bit of a... I mean, at least we don't have... I don't know what's easier. Is it easier to go around constantly seeing people and talking to people and having to engage with knife makers? Like, you know, you walk up to the table, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, chat. Or you have to like, look like you're interested, maybe if you're not.
Yeah, right.
Or is it easier to sit there with your wares and let people cycle in and, and just chill, just sit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's like one of those things where, like, I wonder if they do tables for like one day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like maybe you get a table for Saturday, but not Sunday. But I don't think so.
I think you just have to split it with someone.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you pull your gear off and then put somebody else sets up for the next day. Yeah.
Maybe that's what we do next year. You get a booth and you sell all types of weird stuff. Like, you know, you're one of the... like miscellaneous ones. Like, look, I've got five knives here, but I've got 10 wooden swords.
Yeah.
And I've got a bunch of leather sheaths. Some restored axes.
And, right. Yeah.
And actually, you'd probably clean up because your prices would be better. And it's something different.
Right. Yeah, right.
You would target people like me who's like, another blade. And then you're like, hey, well, I got an axe here for $50. Like,
yeah. Oh,
shit. Like, I've been looking at all these $300 knives. I can leave with like a brand new axe. Yeah, here, it's got a sheath too. Oh, all
right. Yeah, right. Done. Yeah, exactly. Done.
Take my money.
Yeah. I don't know what the table cost is. I think it's not cheap. But, you know, so most people just try to like, you know, price their stuff so they can make their table cost back. Yeah. Because you get the exposure,
Right. That would be fun just to have for a channel, you know?
Right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that could be cool, right? You know, and then kind of do some different stuff, right? Like sheep shear knives and, you know, Viking EDC knives and and some
your stuff. And yeah, it would all be half the price of everything else, except for maybe your knives, of course. But
right, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, because like, if I'm not doing fully custom knives, they're not fully custom knife prices. Like the sheep shear knives, right? You know, they're not fully custom knives, so. Yeah, and like awls and, you know, just do all the kind of pointy, fun, you know, like sharp stuff, like, you know, all the bladey things.
Yeah, I was a little jealous of, some of the stand people because it was like 5 o'clock and they're like cracking open beers.
Yeah,
like,
right.
They're behind their booth. I was like, that's not a bad gig. Hey, what are we doing wandering around like animals? Let's just post up and have a little booth and sell some stuff.
So what will you miss then? So if you won't miss all the knives. I will say that, like, for in that aspect, you know, like, I'm very particular too of like what type of knife that I like, you know. So, but I like looking. I like the craftsmanship in it, right? So I can see people. I can appreciate it for the craftsmanship, and I'm sure obviously you can too.
I mean,
but you know, I would say as I'm walking around, like there are only maybe I don't know maybe 10% of the knives there that I'm actually like I would want to. Make, you know, it's like, I guess that's the thing. Like I make what I like. And so there's only like 10% of what other people do that I would be like, oh, I'd try to make that because that's what I like. You know, like I'm not a big Bowie knife guy, you know, like, so we see a lot of Bowie knives or a lot of like these kind of more Western-y knives, like, yeah, that's fine. You know, I like Scandinavian style. I like simpler, more things. So I'm looking for that like simple line, simple shape. That's why I really like, West knives, Michael West, because he has these like really cool flowing lines, simple shapes, and then just the pure like the like more innovative stuff. So I kind of like those things too, but not like kitschy, not like too spiky or pointy or, you know, it's like, I don't know. So I'm a very particular. Like I love looking at all the knives because I can appreciate them as a knife maker, but I also am like, you know, it's only like 10% of what's there that I'd actually be interested in like having.
Yeah. I think I would like to, unless we figure something different out, that would be, to me, Blade Show, it's like an every other year type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't need to do it. I don't feel the need to do it this year, other than seeing people we know.
Right, yeah.
Going there and traveling. That's always fun. But it's, you know,
Right. Yeah, and there's that group of, you know, of maybe like 20 or 30 knife makers that I won't see at Maker Camp that I would like to see, you know,
yeah,
on a more regular basis. So, like, you know, that's one of those things. Like, I want to go to Blade Show because of the people. You know, that's the thing that I will obviously miss the most, mm-hmm. is the people, is like the seeing people that I know their work, and I, you know, like people that are in, like, that I'm friends with through the community, and then also people that are more like idols for me, people that I've looked up to in the knife making community.
Like, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to do a gotcha again right here. Right? Okay. This is a very salacious episode. Like Jason Knight, right?
Sure. I like Jason Knight.
You like him as a...
I like him as a... I like his personality. I like watching it. Like, I really liked his lives. He was doing for a long time. He'd call Saturday Night Live. He'd do, like, a live stream on Saturday. So I really like watching him forge because he's a really good smith.
Yeah.
I don't know. He seems a little bit almost just more celebrity than I would care for. Right. You know what I mean? I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just because of like Force and Fire and. Yeah.
Don't down talk him too much, because I'm saying he's been subscribed our channel since 2020, so we should.
Oh.
You should have him on the podcast because he's been subscribed forever, so he'll talk to us. So don't shit on him. Yeah, right on.
No, I like him. I like him as a smith, and I like his personality. But I was saying, like, referring to, like, I'm not necessarily going to miss seeing him because he's not someone who I would go up to.
Yeah, right. No, yeah. I understand that.
Like, because of his celebrity status, like, because everyone wants to go up to talk to Jason Knight. So I'm like, that's fine. You know, like.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in his mind, like, when he's there, like, if I saw him in the pit and he was just chatting with a couple people, I'd say hi to him. But I'm not really going to say hi to him on the floor, you know, because it's more of like, I don't know. It's not, I feel like I wouldn't get him, you know, I'd get more just the like, yeah. God.
Excuse me, Mr. Knight.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Can I call you Mr. Knight? No. So
yeah,
the problem with the pit is it's fun and it's nice to talk to everybody, but it's still a little too businessy.
Yeah.
It's still got the feeling of like, okay, we got to get up. We got to go talk to this. Not that we did this, but it's like, you can see people jockeying kind of.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, now, okay, these guys are over and they're like in the restaurant, or these people are over by themselves talking over here. Like,
right.
And you can see people going up and making rounds, which, isn't as much at Maker Camp.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more natural just because there's so much to do. So even if you do want to talk to them, you can probably go up to them during something. Ask them questions about the specific thing. You don't just have to go like introduce yourself and tell them about your business.
Right. And that's like what Brian House mentioned on the Workboard podcast last year after he went to Maker Camp, which was his first Maker Camp. He's like, Maker Camp is like the pit at Blade Show, but for the entire weekend, mm-hmm. right? So instead of having like a 3 or 4 hour pit time each night where you have to get all of those conversations in that aren't just about like what knives are on the table and, you know, trying to make sure that you're not stopping a sale for that person, but you have the entire weekend, you know, to like to do that, right? So it's not just a couple hours. It's like 72 hours. To do that. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, and even though there are demo times and stuff, but because it's not, you know, because people aren't selling stuff, that's the other thing. Like, you don't, like, yeah, I never feel weird about talking to someone while they're like doing the demo or something, because I'm not getting in the way of them making a business deal, you know, or they're selling something. Like, and that's what Blade Show is to me. It's like, I don't want to go up and chat with someone just to shoot the breeze on the floor because they're there to sell. You know, or at least that's like, I'm sure they want to say hi and people and stuff, and people who I know aren't, they're not going to not talk to you. But if someone else comes up and they're like looking to buy, I'm just going to step away and let them have their conversation. So, yeah.
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 So, yeah, basically we hate Blade Show. So good luck, everyone, and have fun at the hell.
Yeah, I would say, like, I think I won't miss the drive, right? Obviously, the 10-hour drive was, that was a slog. Yeah. You know, the down and back. You know, it's when you think about the price of a plane ticket and then maybe a rental car or whatnot, like it adds up, you know. It's like, maybe it's just, I don't know. I think it's cheaper. Yeah. I don't know. We kind of talked about
cheaper
it
to ride down.
Cheaper to ride down. You just have to, you sacrifice a day. You sacrifice all of Friday and all of Sunday, you know? So for one day, that's tough.
Yeah. Maybe the flight would be better, but then you can't just roll out of your room and hop in the car and go when you want.
Right.
You do have to, like, all right, it's 4 hours. Uh-huh. We got to get to the, airport and do this and that and check in. At least there's that. I mean, you get home quicker, but it is nice just to, you and me decide.
Yeah.
You want some breakfast? Yeah, let's sit down real quick. I'll hit up the bacon real quick. Let me get some bacon and juice. bacon and water. You cool? All right, yeah. I got to take a dump. Anyway, you just go down. I'll see you down there. And then we both hop in the car and go.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, if we leave at 7, we get it back at 5. If we leave at 10, we get back at, 7. It's like, no big deal. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely won't miss the travel. And that's what everyone's doing right now. There have been people, like, chatting on the different group chats I'm on, and then obviously on Facebook groups and stuff, and Instagram, people are, like, just showing their pictures of the travel time. There are people who are, you know, driving 18 hours to get there, and they're breaking it up over a couple of days.
I know. Like, yeah, I remember getting a lot of that after we told about our drive.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it took us 8.5 hours. Like, well, I came from Wyoming, so.
Yeah, Chip came from the Knives Templars podcast. He comes from Texas. And I forget if it was him or somebody else, but someone was like, yeah, I drove 8 hours and I wasn't even out of Texas yet. I was like, still got to go. We're like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. Be like, I don't really want to have to take off an entire week just for 3 days.
Unless we were really trying to sell a lot. Like, some people bank on that. They do. They sell 20 knives and that's...
Right, and make a lot of good connections, and and then you get to meet people and talk to people, and I mean, if you can, you know, and obviously the bigger you are, like, people go to Blade Show and sell out all the time, you know, like, and especially the bigger guys, like the Journeyman, you know, Smiths,
think,
and the Master Smiths, you know.
The smaller guys do too, just because their price.
Yeah, right.
You know, you have the advantage of, the advantage, you know, of selling your stuff for cheaper. And just having a lower price point, and your stuff probably looks like the higher price point stuff. There's probably maybe those higher price point people, either they're just known more, or, you know, they're 10% better. That extra 5-10 years of their experience made them a little better. Everything's a little nicer, but the average person sees a cool handle on a blade and they're like, look, this for whatever reason, this aesthetic's talking to me, and if I can get one for $250 instead of $450, that's what I'm going to do.
Right. Yeah. 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 They don't know the difference, or if they don't care about the difference. Right. And it's more just it's just how long you've been doing it. And so the more people who know you, who you are, the more, you know, the more you can charge. And that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's fair. That's what it should be.
Right. Yeah. And that's like, so speaking of, the knives, that's some of the knives that I've been working on that I'll actually be showing this weekend at the Makers Festival in Baltimore are the Viking EDC knives. And I first saw those at Blade Show last year. I was just walking around and, like, I looked down and I saw this little sign, you know, a little hand, like a paper sign with handwritten. It said $40. And below it was, you know, 7 or 8 little knives that were just very simple oval handles with really short, you know, like 2 to 2.5 inch to 3 inch blades, hidden tang, like nothing super, you know, like no frills, but it just had like the right aesthetic. And I was very tempted to buy one of them then, but it's also, as a knife maker, I'm like, okay, well, that I can definitely make, you know, so like, and that's quick. And that's the reason why that person could sell them quick too. Like, their booth was specifically, they had stuff that was specifically like designed around that more of that look, right? You know, like the dragons and the axes and the swords and the Viking stuff. And so they had the little Viking EDC knives and they had leather and stuff.
That's why I'm thinking you having a booth would work.
Right. Because
we could do all that stuff and just promote the channel.
Right. You know. Yeah, exactly. Just that people will see.
I don't know how much it is. Is it $300 a day? Is it $1,500 a day. Like I, it
could, yeah, I think
it could be both, and I would think that's about right.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's like $1,000 for a table, but I can't remember. I
for might all
be
wrong. Weekend.
It might be more. I think so. Yeah. But I can't, like, for some reason that price, it might be $1,500. It might be $1,000. It's like, yeah, it's, I don't remember exactly, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. And they're obviously different size tables and different areas and stuff are different prices. So
yeah, maybe it's worth it. Maybe we use our Patreon or something next year.
Yeah. Right.
Buy a table. And then we also sell channel shirts and
yeah,
other stuff. And, you know, our video podcast that we're going to do is blown up. So everybody wants to take pictures with us. And
yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. Maybe. Now we'll have to look at it and yeah, see what the specifics are.
Yeah. It gives us something else to do.
Yeah.
A mission. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like a good goal mission on these things.
Right, mission. Exactly. Build towards something. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be fun. And you know, I like the idea of selling a variety of things. You know, just like these are all the things that we do at the Art of Craftsmanship. You know, you get some blacksmith stuff, you get some knives, you get maybe some axes, you get maybe some old tools. You know, I could get a bunch of old like antique tools and stuff and bring them along. You know, like sell some restored stuff and yeah. Could do that, and then you know some random leather stuff with laser etchings and stuff, and yeah,
right. You kind of go like if you can break even,
mm-hmm.
you feel good. You got, you know, I don't know, maybe not, but maybe you could make good money. That's the problem with, you know, selling cheap stuff. It takes
right
to break even.
Yeah,
but you could work on it all year. You know, you make a couple wooden swords every other week, or you know, you have some Viking things, and then you have your, like, a few journey knives that are more expensive, and then you have
right, yeah,
some other stuff, and you know, you can show stuff from the
channel. Yeah, the channel display.
Have a couple bows, too, just sitting there.
Yeah, right.
You know, in a barrel, you know, wooden barrel. Well,
yeah, that is cool. The good thing about, like, you know, that the channel being a you know, the Art of Craftsmanship is as big as it is because of the knife making stuff, you know, because of the axe stuff, that's the stuff that really pushed us early on.
Well, the bow stuff too.
And the bow stuff. Yeah. Right. But then there's like the selection of other things that we do. So like, you know, the Art of Craftsmanship booth at Blade Show makes sense, whether or not it's all blades, you know, cause it will be some blades and it will be some other stuff, but those other things just go along with the channel. So it makes sense that the channel booth is there, you know? So
yeah, that'd be kind of cool to do, I think.
Yeah, 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 that would be cool.
Maybe not.
Something to think about. All right, it's just a building up stock. That's the issue. It's like, okay, I gotta make a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so, but I mean, you made a bunch of stuff for this maker thing that's coming up.
I did.
And that, yeah, you only had like a month advance, so.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, and some of that was right. Yeah. So I made the I think I have 5 or 6 Viking eating spikes. I have 6 wooden swords and 6 wooden daggers. I have 8 Viking EDC knives. I have, what else do I have? Let's see. I'm trying to think what else. I feel like there's something I'm missing. But yeah, even still, right? So I was building up some stock to have some stuff along the way. Because I have, so like, and I'm kind of doing a price range. So if you're going to go there, if you're going to come. So again, this is the Makers Festival 2024 in Baltimore. It's on Saturday, June 8th. It'll be at the War Memorial Building, which is 101 North Gay Street in Baltimore from 12 to 4. I'll have the wooden daggers are going to be $20. The eating spikes are, oh, that's right. I have hooks. Yeah. So I made a whole bunch of hooks. I have 9 just like metal hooks. So those are going to be $5 each. The wooden daggers are going to be 20. The wooden swords are going to be 40. The Viking EDC knives are going to be 100. And then the eating spikes, I think maybe those are going to be 30. So the Viking eating spikes are 30, and then I have maybe 5 or 6 the sheep shear knives, which will be 200 because that's what I was selling them. So I'll have like a range, which is kind of nice, you know. And then I'll have our Grasmanship stickers and stuff to give away. But so if you're thinking about it and you're in Baltimore and you're around this area on from 12 to 4 on Saturday, stop by. Everybody has fathers, and fathers love sharp, pointy things and sharp things and swords and daggers. So come by and pick up something cool for your dad for Father's Day, which is coming up the following weekend.
So there we'll see. Yeah. Yeah. And you'll be at the Celtic Festival.
Oh, now, yeah.
Here's the thing. Yep. I probably can't make it down to the Makers thing. And then the Celtic Festival, I might do Saturday instead just because it works out better for our schedule.
Okay.
So we're going to like be opposite of.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know. So you won't be able to see me. Oh, man. You won't see it.
I know.
So, right. So Nicole and Corinne and I are doing the Carroll County Celtic Festival, but we're going and we're going to be, you know, doing the living history with the Nyrtis Wanderers. So we'll be dressed up and I'll be blacksmithing and Nicole and Corinne will be doing whatever they're doing. I don't know. Mm. But speaking of that, we've been making turn shoes. Mm. So a turn shoe is the like traditional, or it's like, it's the shoe that would have been around that period of time. So it's an all leather shoe, a leather sole and a leather top or with an upper. And basically you sew it inside out. So all your seams are on around the edge, right? So it's the upper is sewn to the sole and then you turn it inside out. So that way all the seams are then on the inside. That's why they call them turn shoes, because you'd like sew it and then flip it around. Same way you would do like a bag or something, you know, or a pillow. You would sew it.
Yeah. Hang on. When are you going? When will you be there Sunday?
We'll be there, I guess, most of the day. I think it opens at 10. We're going to get there at about 9 to start setting up. So we'll be there.
I'll talk with Caitlin. Maybe we'll just do the morning and see, because I felt like we were thinking of like go up for a dinner thing.
Right.
And Caitlin's got work the next day and stuff. So we're like, maybe not Sunday. Maybe we'll do Saturday.
Yeah.
But maybe we just do Sunday morning, like go out breakfast and then come there for a few hours and just head home after, like, you know,
yeah.
Head right. home around lunch or something.
Right, right. No, that'd be cool. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great. Because then, you know, yeah, then you can get some shots of the whole thing and then you can get some shots of me hanging out with the Wanderers doing some smithing. Right. Yeah. So
if you did it by yourself, I guess you wouldn't have much time to get shots of stuff.
No, I mean, I probably could break away and like take the DJI and walk around for half an hour or whatever. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, you know, we're not like contracted to stay with them the whole time. Like, they're actually going to be there all weekend, and they're going to be camping and stuff all weekend. And they'll have their whole setup and they'll be doing like their traditional camping and food cooking and everything. But we're only going on Sunday, so we're just
part-timers. Maybe if you had like 20 minutes you could walk around with a camera or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. So if I need to, you know, yeah, we could do that.
But that'll be cool. That'll be your first gig as a Viking.
Yeah, yeah, as one of the Wanderers, right? And that's kind of, like I said before, that's the cool thing about their group is that their kind of premise is that they're a traveling merchant group, right? Yeah. So you would kind of go to a new town, you'd set up a little tent, you'd hang out for a couple of days, you'd do some smithing, you maybe do some leather work or, you know, help out, like somebody help fix a loom or sell some, you know, woven goods and do, you know, and then get some stuff, trade for some stuff. So they're kind of a merchant trading group. Mm-hmm. And because of that, and right, that's the Wanderer part, right? Because they're the Wanderers. And I think Njordr was like, he's the god of travel and safety in the seas or something like that. I could be completely wrong, but that's what I think. That's off the top of my head. So, you know, because of that, they can demonstrate things that aren't just from Norway or Sweden, right? Or like Denmark, you know, it's not just that stuff. They can also do stuff from England and from Ireland and they can show, you know, so they can have things that would have been time and period appropriate, but from a group that would actually be traveling around, you know, so like they might go down to France and Germany, what's that, Francia in that time, right? So like there's different like influences that they can show and they can talk about in their group, and so they're not like just Vikings. Because when we actually saw them at the Sheep and Wool Festival, which is in the video as well, and you know, they have like a guy who is their like Irishman, right? He's like, he's supposed to be an Irishman that's traveling around with them, right? So he's not just a Scandinavian, like just a, you know, a Dane or whatever, a Northman. But yeah, so that's kind of fun. I really like that about that group, right? That they figured out a way to have a little bit more leniency on what they show, you know, and how they dress and how they're like influenced. You know, not just like just a farm, like a farmer, a group of farmers from one place, you know, just from Denmark or something. You know, it's like they're a group of travelers.
See, if I joined up, I would want to be one of the slave men who, for some reason, decided not to kill. Just like all beat up and battered.
Come, slaves.
Come, slave.
Right. You have like all wear around your wrists and ankles where you're chained to the into the boat, you know.
Now this is how we would capture human beings and take them from town to town. And I'd like try to explain myself and then shut up. Watch your mouth.
That's not funny. That'd be great. I've been watching the History Channel show Vikings, and also the Last Kingdom, which, you know, both those things I've been kind of rewatching over the last few months, and yeah, there's a lot of that. There's like, a lot of slave trade.
Yeah, according to the show Vikings.
Yeah, right. Don't say that around the Wanderers.
They'd be like, that's not correct.
It's not correct at all. Yeah, no, there's definitely some of that type of elitism. Like,
how do you know about TV, Orcock?
Yeah, right. But like, it's funny because like, there's definitely that type of, you know, purity in the group, the mindset. But they're also like, they're not assholes about it. They're just like, yeah, it's not, you know, like, no, like yeah, what we see, well, yeah, like in Vikings, where like Ragnar Lothbrok, like he's like, Ragnar Lothbrok was not, he's not completely one person. He's like a combination of multiple people from history, you know, and like his sons and stuff and all those like people, those, like, it's almost like he's part of an epic, like a story that was written as well, you know, that combines a bunch of different people's stuff. So, you know, something like that. They're like, yeah, well, you know, like the Craig, who's kind of the main, one of the main admins, his, you know, he'll say like, oh no, yeah, that was a good show. You know, if you want to know what not to do for the Wanderers, like it's a really good example of, you know, maybe what the leather gauntlets looked like at the time. he'll give it like a little bit of credit, but not really. Yeah. You know, so
you're like, well, I mean, none of us are pretty enough to be on the show anyways.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Everyone would have been a lot uglier like us.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I did just have Nicole cut my hair pretty short. It's down to a half an inch, so I'm like pretty tight on top, but I got the big beard. Yeah, so it'll be ready. Good for my Smith, you know, because I'm going to be sweating. It's going to be hot out, and I'm going to be sitting in front of
the
fire.
You're the right size of human.
Exactly, right? See, I got the look going, so right, I've got
that's
that.
All you need. That's
I've got that locked in. Yeah.
All look, no knowledge.
Yeah, you know, that people just see a big dude there sitting, you know, blacksmithing. Like,
just grunt at him and be like, yeah, he got hit with a hammer.
Thor's hammer.
Ten years ago, in his he only grunts now, but he makes a fine blade.
And it's perfect, right? Because my name, Dustin, comes from the Thorsten, which, you know, is
so what's your Thor's Viking hammer? Name?
Thorsten.
Thorsten?
I'm just going with Thorsten. Yeah, T-H-O-R-S-T-E-N.
I don't know what Thorsten. My name would be, especially if I went to Penzic. I don't know.
Yeah.
It had to be fun.
And originally, like, there was a few when we went to an SCA event for like a bow shoot. And at the time, Nicole and Kern and I were all trying to think of what we wanted. And I went with Eowyn, which is like Ewan, like, you know, E-U-E-N, mm-hmm. or whatever. But with a Y, which is more of like, it was like an Irish version of Eowyn, or like an earlier one. And that, like, is also a nod toward, like yeomen, which were the bowmen back right. in, you know, whatever. So I kind of like that. So that was like Ewan, whatever, Eowyn.
Yeah.
But then once we started thinking more like Viking specific, and I was like, well, that just works for my name, right? Because like the root of my name is Thorsten. So mm-hmm. I was like, I'll just go with Thorsten. It's easy for me to, like, it's close enough to my name to hear it, you know, and it's a, and it works. And it would be like, I mean, you know, if so, for like a last name, right? Most of those, that the history of that is the father's name and then son after it, right? So it'd be like Scottson. That's if, you know, but it wouldn't, like, Scott wouldn't have been like a, you know, like a Norwegian or, you know, Scandinavian or Danish first name for a man, right? So I don't know if I'll get into a last name, but Thorsten works for my Viking name. Yeah, you got like, I was thinking, you got to kind of find something that's not too far off from your actual name, unless it's like, you don't want to get, it's either get something close to your name or you get something completely different, right? That's just, you know, that way it's not like, it's not just like kind of close, right?
Right. You need, like, it to be like Flabbergoo.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You'll hear that goofy ass name. Someone's calling me specifically.
Right. Floki.
Floco Floppy.
Floco Floppy.
It's like flip flop, but not.
Yeah. And you could also, like, have fun with the, like, the surname part of it. You know, you can be like whatever, you know, like, I don't know, like Bigfoot or, you know, or like, because there's like different characters and they, like, right. they call them like blah 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 one eye or like, you know, no arm or, you know, or like, or long, blackface. You know, like long traveler or something, you know, like they kind of get into those just like, you know, more descriptive naming things to give someone like more of a nickname, like a last name nickname,
right?
You know. So that might be kind of fun if, you know, to go with your persona, to come up with a kind of a blah, blah, blah of the whatever, you know, like, or, well,
good
or
thing,
something.
Good
something,
thing, yeah. Good thing about Penzic is at least they have, you can, if you're confused, just go from where you're from.
Right.
Like, yeah. our areas, like the Black Hills or something, we're like north,
yeah,
we're right on the
hills.
Border.
Yeah, we're in the Bright Hills in Atlanta. Yeah. That's
kind of cool. Area. Like we're the border guard.
Yeah, right.
Of Atlanta, right? Atlanta.
Yep. Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Atlanta. See,
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
You're like, yeah, you're from the Barony of Bright Hills.
Oh, sorry.
Or actually, I'm not sure. I don't know what all that is. I'm not sure if that's all of Baltimore or if that's like just a certain area, like, cuz it might be split up more. But yeah, but the Barony of Bright Hills in Atlantia.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of don't want to miss it. And then if you can't come, I'll just shoot a bunch of footage and maybe we'll come up with something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if there's got to be like a day pass, you know? Like, can I come up?
There is, and there's also a media day pass.
Oh.
But here's the thing, though, with media, then you have to sign a bunch of stuff saying you'll get footage of this and not that, and then this and that. I'd rather just shoot and ask forgiveness if someone calls me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Just do it as a, you're
if
you're
I go as official
it, yeah.
media, then you got to wear like press and you got to do this.
Yeah.
If I just had maybe the Arc Good camera or maybe even just the DJI camera and just shoot it with that and just kind of be, because everyone's got their phones out and stuff and they're shooting stuff. I've seen a bunch of Penzic videos of people just walking around. No one cares, especially these days.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So if I'm just out of the way, I'd probably rather do that. But, yeah, maybe you can...
Yeah. Yeah, if I can get a day pass. I know
you can get a media day pass. But
right. So, we'll see.
Just drive up on, come Thursday or something.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's just a day, it's kind of a long drive for a day, but I could, I can make it. I could
maybe
do it.
Once you're in, you could just stay.
Well, I will tell you this, that I just heard on Tuesday, I heard that there is talk that this year's Gov Cup might be the last Gov Cup.
Wow.
I know. And I heard it from two people at the same time. They're like, oh, yeah, I heard that too. And I was like, what? So, it may be, obviously I can't miss this year's Gov Cup because it's the last one.
I know you wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss it anyway. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you won't even miss a Tuesday and a Wednesday, Thursday. So, God forbid a Gov Cup.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Just Tuesday, Wednesday.
You'd have to have, Nicole would have to have another baby or something.
Yeah, see we're done. We're outside of that time period. Because that's everyone else. Everyone else is like, oh, I can't come because, can't sail twice. 9 months
before Gov Cup, you're like, don't touch me, woman.
Exactly.
Stay away.
Right around the beginning of December.
He's been in his shop a lot. That's weird. Late at night.
Don't touch me, woman.
Got things to do in 9 months.
There's a two and a half week period. The last week from Thanksgiving to the first week of December. It's
you go into full character mode.
Right.
What's your name? Thor thing? What was it?
Thorsten.
Thorsten does not Thorsten, mate
which
now.
Is, yeah, Thorsten.
Thorsten, make weapon now.
No, this is the moon, the dark moon period. We can't be having babies in the time of
yes, that's right.
Travel.
Evil witches may fly about and tempt me, but I shall not conceive.
No, not November.
Yes, back siren, back.
I don't wash for 4 days.
Yeah, you can try, but the smell usually drives them away.
I like it. It's good. Yeah. No babies. No babies born in the first weekend of October or August.
I know. Shit, man. I didn't get that memo about. Maker camp. Jeez.
I know. Jeez.
I'm
gonna
say I'm a weak-willed.
You gotta think about the things you love and then count back 9 months.
My character apparently is a bumbling gambler, so I was happy to get whatever I could get.
Well, you're good in July, so it's like you could have as many it's like you don't so October, November, December, January, so nothing in the first weekend of January. New Year's, nope. New Year's is out. There's you. See, that's what it is, New Year's. I gotcha.
I know.
It's a new year. Hey.
Wife goes to sleep at 10 now on New Year's anyway, so I'm all right. I'm safe.
So you're not gonna have any more babies in the first weekend of October.
I'm safe there.
All right. Well, I have sewing machine video. Let's talk about that because we just put that up, and I will say it's not doing great. It's not horrible. I think it's floating around six out of 10, which is okay. But it's got a lot of engagement, a lot of comments because there are a lot of people who are wanting to help and give advice on.
Yeah, who knew the sewing community was so rabid?
I know. It was within the first hour, there were six comments all with bits of advice on what to do. Try this, try this. I've had people tell me how to change the motor to have a better motor. And people I've had several people now, I think 3 or 4, who have said, make sure I hold on to both of the tailing strings in the first 2 stitches, right? So I have the needle thread and then the bobbin thread.
Oh, yeah.
And I filled it in. They said, hold on to it, keep it tight in those first few stitches, and then, then you can let it go. Multiple people said that, which is great advice. I'd never heard that before. So, and that's not something I do on, on the fabric sewing machine, my wife's sewing machine, which I've been using since college, for 20 years. So I've never had to do that. We always just kind of push the threads over to the side and you start stitching. But maybe it's because it's going through thicker material and it wants to pull and, get in your way. So I did. Yeah. I did sew a pair of the turn shoes on the sewing machine, which is awesome because we did the first pair by hand. And then I was like, well, I think we can just do this on the sewing machine downstairs. So I was like, took it down and sewed around it. And, you know, I think it ended up taking me probably like 45 minutes or so just because of I ran into some stuff and I ran out of thread in my bob and I had to rethread that. And then, you know, kind of troubleshooting a little bit. And it's not the easiest thing to do. But, you know, theoretically, it should only take like 10 minutes to sew a pair of the shoes.
Right.
Which is cool.
That's cool.
But yeah, it was fun setting that up. You know, I know that when I first got the sewing machine, I kind of put it aside for a couple of days and I had the table for it, but the table was like a couple of the caster wheels were missing. So I ordered new wheels and we were going to kind of do the whole thing, like setting it up on the table and getting all set up. And then, but it was just taking a little too long. So I just did that. But still, you know, actually running it for the first time, which is what we did. Oh, and the video was cool, you know, and that's always fun to show that process because, you know, it's not like, it's not the best, it's not the most maker video, but it's a really cool, like, if someone else is setting up a sewing machine and they're doing the same type of troubleshooting. And also people just like to see when you get a new thing and how you get it set up and you start using it in the shop. I know I do, so.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. It's got a good pace to it, even though it's a little slow, but that's just the whole thing of setting up a new thing and you actually figure it out. And like I said, we got a few real, like I said to you, we got a few real moments of you like figuring stuff out for real,
right,
like on camera. Because it didn't take long. You know, we were there for one night. So I was rolling most of the time.
Right.
So I did get a few moments when you're like, oh, wait, it's this. And when you actually figured out the... where you needed the leather under it for the foot to move and where the bobbin was, like all that stuff was.
Yeah,
was
hit the little latch to pop the bobbin out and stuff.
Right.
And,
there was no reenactment needed. And it was just enough where I cut out, I cut out half of it.
Right.
Going back and forth doing things. And then the other half is, it moves along and then Nicole shows up and I'm going to take, what do you call it? I'm going to take...
take sides?
I'm going to take the... what's the thing? Man, I opened the stupid margarita. Now I can't think.
Take the high road? Take credit?
Credit. Jeez.
I'm like, what comes after take? I'm going to take from beer apart to canned margaritas something.
I can't speak. I can't clearly come up with good... thoughts. I take credit for bringing her down because I couldn't really help at all.
Right.
And this. And then I was like, well, so why don't you call Nicole? That's what she does, even though she's got the same experience with those machines. But she's fresh set of eyes. And sure enough,
she,
the first thing, and I almost wrote captions where when she said, well, it's got to be a tension thing.
Yeah.
And you were like, you agreed, but you're also like, well, maybe not, which was also true. But it turned out that she was definitely right. It was a tension thing.
Right.
And that's, I wanted to do like a bell and like quote her, you know, like under it. Like,
right.
And like point at it, like, listen to this here.
Right.
But then, you know, after, you know, three or four minutes later, you're both looking at it and then it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was the thing too, is because like in my mind, it, like the way I had the spool set up the way I saw it in a picture from Neil Saddlery, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like sitting on top. And so I was like, well, that's got to work, right? If it's just sitting there.
Right.
But maybe it was sitting on something that spun a lot easier, right? Because that was the thing with like the tension was, it was just that extra pressure of the string having to spin the spool rather than what we ended up using was we put the extension part on, you put the spool on top, and then the string just pulls straight up and around a little loop. So it's not spinning the spool, it's just pulling off the top of the spool.
Right.
And so that tension made the difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the thing, like, and then Nicole looked at, we made the little bowl, the little leather bowl, which turned out fine. Like, it was cool to do it, but the tension was a little off top to bottom. And I think that's just because the machine is, like, it was more set to tension for thicker leather, and that's, like, the thinnest leather. You know, it's, like, one, that's, like, almost fabric. You know, it's, like, two pairs of jeans, you know, two sheets of, like, denim material is the same as that leather, so. But, yeah, so I guess we didn't get the little video of me sewing through the three layers of 7-8 ounce leather, which was like nearly 3/4 of an inch thick.
Right.
And because I was like, here, just shoot this video real quick and let me see if we can sew through this. And you just did it with your phone, which we got obviously on Instagram. People have seen it there, but it didn't make it into the video of me being like, whoa, like crazy. Like it was just, just no, you know, no stopping. It was nuts.
Maybe that's a video we do. Maybe that's the next one we do. It's just like, a bunch of different things. See what it can go through.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because you got a couple replacement needles.
Yeah, I have a bunch. I actually broke, I might have broken two when I was doing the shoe. And I don't think that it wasn't like because it was going through thick leather. I think it was, it like hit something or it was pulling sideways or something down through the machine.
So. Oh, but it's working well on the shoes?
Yeah. Nice. So it worked really well. I was able to sew through. And that's, you know, I was doing the sole, which is 7-8 ounce leather, which is probably 1/8 of an inch thick, something like that, and then the top leather was at 3/4, which is the same thing we use in the video. So those two together, you know, and it actually worked out really well. So, okay,
so if I go to Penzic, I'll have a bunch of wares that you have made.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I represent.
Yeah, you can all be geared up with like
the merchants from the Wanderers have sent me. Actually, they'll be there, so I'll be like, all right, this is Thor thank. Was it thoracic? What is it?
My name is Dustin. It's just like Dustin is based off of Thorsten. Thor's stone. Dustin. The Thorsten.
Thor stank.
Stank. Thor stank.
Thor stank.
My Thor stank. Thorsten. Thorsten O'Hara.
Right,
I was trying to think of could I do like an of, like Thorsten of whatever, like of blah, 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 you know, Thorsten, like a town name. Because then that, Thorsten of Hera, right. Which, you know, I could do that. I mean, Hera's
cool.
Right, because then it's close enough, right? And because our name, you know, because it's all things that are the history of our name, like the of O'Hara is of a place, right? Of Hera.
Thorsten of Hera. Of the Black Hills.
Right. Thorsten of Hara.
Or Shine Bright from Hills.
The Barony of Bright Hills. Yeah. The Barony.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, then, yeah, exactly. Then you do, like, you know, so what's, like, what's a version of Devon, you know, like something of Hara.
Devnok.
Yeah. Devnok. Tornach. You just keep wanting to add knock to the end.
I know. I want to. That's
it's cool. Not German. Okay. You're not German.
Well, sure they were. They probably came from this Germanic Vikings. I said
you're not German.
I am German.
Is that what you're going to do? Is that you're going to be? You're going to be a German. You're going to be a Frankian.
A Frankian.
Francia.
I thought that was French.
That's the German. The Germany France coast.
Oh boy.
Frankia.
I'm going to be. Actually, I'm not going to. I'll just be the Bright Hills. I'll just be from the
Barony of Bright Hills.
Yeah, I'll be the U.S. game version. I'm not going to go back to
the U.S. game version.
I like, well, hey, I you like know, the what's Penzic it like version. The
what's so the SCA their time period? What it's like 1300 to, or it's like something to. Is it 1300 is the latest or something like that? I think it is. 13 to 18 or something, you know, it's
not 18, not that. Yeah. But yeah, it's that chunk.
Yeah. Right. So
it's that dress, but it's also the fake, you know, kingdoms. So it's like you're focusing on a medieval time, but you're
in a king. Yeah, exactly. Also,
there's a little bit of LARPing. There's a fake thing. Which, no, I appreciate. I'll probably just do that. I'll be I'll be Atlantia, Baltimore County.
Yeah, Bright Hills.
And then I'll be Devrock or something. I don't know.
Devrock.
Just like Derrock.
Derrock, Devrock, Dustrock, Drewrock.
Of the rocks.
Of the rocks.
I'm Devon of the Rock.
Although, like,
but also Devon is very. But it's very English.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so, I mean, Devon would have been a name, so you could just be Devon.
It could be Devon.
But that's not fun. Yeah, that's not fun. You got to come up with a cool name.
Maybe I'll be... Who knows? We'll see.
Dorcas. Dorcas of Hara.
I had a couple names chambered there for a sec, but I don't think they're appropriate, even on our podcast.
Exactly. I didn't want chambered. All right, so I have a couple theoretical questions for you before we get kind of close and wrap this up. And I just thought I was driving home today, and I was like, what can we do on the podcast a little different? So,
what could we save until the last 10 minutes?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, I have my little list of here all the things we already talked about. So we hit all the big things. This is my last thing. So, I was thinking, okay, so if you could only choose one outfit to wear, like, for the rest of your life, what would it be and why? Like, it doesn't have to be the same exact clothing, but like the same look, basically, you know. So what's basically, like, what's your favorite outfit and why?
Oh boy.
Yeah,
I mean, in the winter I like jeans, decent shoes, maybe a button up and a jacket, right?
Oh,
that's always, okay. It's a nice look. But, you know, I don't know. If I had to wear one thing, though, you know, if it's summer, I don't want to wear that.
Right.
So it'd be, you know, it's just going to be shorts and a t-shirt.
So why?
Because it's the coolest.
The coolest, yeah.
Because I don't want, like, being hot.
What type of footwear?
I don't, so I have to wear it?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so say you, like, were...
So you got to be ready for anything, like, kind of, then.
Yeah, right. Question. Yeah, so it's like, what's your...
It'd be jeans and a t-shirt and tennis shoes. I mean, it's not that complicated.
Right, yeah.
Just because that's how you got to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do a button-up, and that's more versatile, maybe,
right,
you know?
Right, yeah, you can open it up a little bit or open it up a little bit.
I'm not going with flip-flops everywhere, so...
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, what if, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, and pretty much same, right? Same response. I was like, jeans and a t-shirt, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, I like jeans because jeans are, you know, they're cotton, so they're cool, you know, cooler than like a synthetic most of the time. But, you know, they're also very durable, right? So you can, like, you can crawl around on the ground with them, but you can also, you know, obviously depending on what the jeans are, you can also wear them, you dress them up a little bit, but they're, you know, they're durable, they're strong, they're tough. You know, I can go down the shop and I can wear jeans and I'm never worried about anything getting through the jeans. Yeah. You know, a t-shirt's comfortable and versatile. Obviously in the winter, right? Of course you have to add on a jacket or something, but, and, yeah, I would be like, if I had to choose between like boots or flip flops, I mean, that's what I wear. That's what I go back and forth between. It's like boots in the winter and flip flops in the summer. So like,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. Like, yeah. But you know, it's like, I don't know. Like if I, would I like, if I could wear like a really nice dress, you know, suit like every day, like a dress suit, you know, like, would I want to do that? Like,
a dress suit? No.
Like, you know, dress up. Like,
you can't do much in it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly.
Nice.
But, you
it's
know.
It's nice for the occasions, but you can't do it every day.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I like jeans over khakis. Yeah. I think I like a t-shirt over a button-up shirt.
What? Oh, not
a t-shirt
literally on top of one.
No. No, between the two, like a t-shirt rather than a button-up shirt.
If I could wear anything, button-up, throw my favorite t-shirt over top of it, I'm ready
no matter what happens, I'm ready.
No, you can't just wear all the layers to be prepared for any of
it. What is your outfit?
A nice cummerbund and a suit jacket.
A button-up shirt, sweater, a jacket. Shorts with a pair of jeans over top of them.
Yeah, they're friends. You're wearing my boxers. I'm wearing everything you got.
All of your glasses and doing lunges.
How's that the opposite?
Oh, man. Okay.
I was joking with Caitlin. She used to always play Friends at night on, you know, in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Like, I'd come in later and it'd be on. It's just a nice thing to have in the background.
Yeah.
But now she's, like, switched off to just her normal... murder television, like, And it's like, I'm like snuggling in the bed, and it's like, she was brutally raped and murdered by. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Is it like CSI or more like...
She was only 3 years old.
It's like documentary
style. Thing she ever saw. Oh, I'm like, geez. Oh my, I'm trying to sleep here.
Murder this is television. Sick. What's wrong with you? Don't you want to hear... Much rather. Don't you want Friends to be on where every episode is about sex, basically? Come on.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, we listen. We watch a lot of Seinfeld at night while eating dinner. If we're not playing a game or something, we'll watch an episode of Seinfeld. Just the right amount of time. Tonight's episode was the episode where they go out to the beach or whatever to go see the baby and the lobster and it's the shrinkage episode. That's good.
Sure.
Last night's episode was the was that?
Saying he's breathtaking.
He's breathtaking. The baby. they see George's girlfriend topless.
Oh yeah.
He's like, ah,
yeah. So you saw her topless. Let's say there was a sketch artist, and he had to describe what she looked like. He'd pick her up about in 10 minutes.
About 10 minutes.
Okay. That's a good one.
Oh yeah, that's great. But the night before, it was the episode where Kramer. So Kramer's girlfriend or whatever friend. He's at Pendant Publishing, and she's like super excited about his coffee table book, and so she's like, oh, it's great, I love it. And Elaine's really annoyed by her because she's super positive.
Oh yeah.
And so Kramer takes her to the comedy club, and she's like, oh, that's great. She's like being over the top with Jerry, which is throwing him off. And then she starts booing and hissing him when he makes a bad joke. Mm-hmm. And so he goes to her work and he mocks her, you know, and he's like, he heckles her at her work, and so she runs out in the street and gets hit by like a sweet sweeper, and it cuts her big toe off.
Right.
And one of the best monologues of all time is Kramer talking about that toe. He's like, so I find the toe.
The bus, yeah.
Yeah. And he takes it and he puts it in a Cracker Jack box full of ice, and he gets on the bus and he's like, going to take the bus because it's quicker than walking. And he's on the bus, and then someone comes on the bus and he's like, going to, you know, hijack the bus. And Kramer doesn't have any time to lose. So he comes up and he's like, what are you doing up, Cracker Jack? And he's like, bop, bop. And like punches him, knocks him out, and kicks him out of the bus. But the driver of the bus had passed out because of the commotion. So he's driving the bus.
Batman.
And then the guy wakes up and he's fending him off, and he opens the door at the next stop and kicks him out. And Jerry's like, we're making all the stops.
He kept ringing the bells.
And Kryn was cracking up. And so she's actually doing a theater camp at the Hippodrome downtown. And one of the things they have to do is they have to memorize a monologue before they come. And she was like, that's the one I want to do. She's like, that's so good. Oh my gosh. I think she's going to memorize that Kramer monologue. Oh, it's so funny. That's great. I was like, one of the best monologues of all time.
Oh yeah. It's almost as good as the sea was angry that day, my friend.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Some back soup with jelly. All right. Like, what are your other questions?
All right. So, if you can only have one car, what car would it be? What vehicle?
Like anything? Like my dream car?
Yeah, or no, like what's like one car you'd want to have for the rest of your life if you could only have one car?
It'd be a truck. You gotta do a truck.
Yeah, of course.
Of
course, that was easy. That's a gimme, that was a throw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's like I feel that same way. Like if I had to have one,
the rest of my life. If you said, you know, you could have what do you want for the next 2 years? Maybe
get away with
a Mustang or something, but
yeah. No, but for the most versatile vehicle, yeah. Like not thinking about like price of gas over time, blah blah blah. Yeah. You know, it's like yeah. Okay. All right. If you had to live in one place for the rest of your life and you couldn't go to the other one, would it be the mountains or the ocean?
Mountains.
Mountains, yeah. That was really tough for me. Like, I always lean toward the mountains, but that's really hard for me to make that decision because I do love the ocean. I love water, you know, as a sailor. Like, I love water.
The mountains have rivers.
No, yeah, I agree. They do. Yeah, and there's lakes and stuff, so. But there's just something about, like, the ocean that I do love as well.
Yeah.
But I, yeah, it's always, I'm like, that's in, to me, that's like a 55, 45, you know, like I lean toward the mountains just a little bit more, you know, there's, I don't get that same, well, I don't know. There's a sense of awe, you know, when you like wake up in the morning and you're in the mountains and it's just like beautiful and it's like maybe a little foggy and misty and you're seeing this like ranges and just the trees and, but I feel that same awe at the beach, you know, at night or in the morning, you know, and it's just this, the water and the power. So that one's tough. Yeah. Okay. Last one. This is works well. What would your last meal be if you were on death row and you could have one final meal? What would it be? Or if it's like the, you could only eat one. See, that's the thing. Like if you can only, it's a different question. If you can only eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be? Is a different question than if you could only.
Oh yeah, for sure. That is. Yeah. You don't want to go as heavy if you got to eat one thing.
Right. Exactly. Every day. Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be like, maybe burger and fries, you know, a really good bacon cheeseburger and fries or a cheesesteak or something. Probably a burger. I mean, it's hard to just beat that. If you're going to have one last go,
like
one last thing that really hits every time is a bacon cheeseburger, like a good one, you know, Five Guys or something. Which is, it's like, it's one of those things kind of like a bagel and kind of like pizza. Like most of the time it's good.
Right.
But some of the time, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, right, everyone almost can make a good bagel, pizza, and burger. It's all passable. Like, you almost never, like, go, ooh, and, like, spit it out or turn it down.
Right,
But, like, when you perfect it, it's amazing. Like, it gets no better.
Yeah.
So probably, you know, bacon cheeseburger.
That's a good one. That's pretty good.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I think I would probably, I mean, yeah, it, like, French fries are really hard to not put into that mix, because I do love, good French fries. But I think still, like, blue crabs, like a crab feast.
Yeah, right. No, I agree.
You know, that might, like, that's definitely my favorite food, and I, you know, but also, like, really, like, a really good, like, you know, couple rolls of sushi is really good too. Like that's, I don't know. Yeah. And I agree, like a cheesesteak or a burger and fries, like it doesn't get much better than that. Like you said, it's like almost reliably good, but
yeah,
if I had to choose, like if it was the last one, it would probably be crabs. Let's go crabs.
Yeah, but if I could get like the whole if I could get a bunch of sides too, like like you know, cookout sides, that would be you know, the whole cookout thing. Bacon cheeseburger, fries, broccoli salad, deviled egg, macaroni salad, all that stuff would like if you can get the whole spread, if you can get the whole meal. Right,
chips, a couple beers,
sauce. And, right,
if I can get a pool,
the whole suite.
Yes. Yeah, right. You just have a cookout at a pool, like a pool party.
Pool.
The smell of the grill cooking burgers and dogs.
Beautiful and, women.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Chicks in bikinis.
Bikinis.
With a little beach volleyball. Man.
Like, dude, we can bring you three things. What do you want? Like, all right, fine. Whatever. Fine.
You know, like, all right. You're like, that's not an event. It's a meal. Take it easy.
Yeah. You're like, I want it all. I'm 20.
Yeah, right, exactly. Skinny. Yeah, nice. Full head of hair.
Yeah.
Yep, good old days. No kids.
Right.
No responsibilities.
Hey, put that down.
That. Yeah, right, exactly. Don't jump in the pool. Oh, no. Right. Dad, play with me. Okay. All right, there you go. I just thought it'd be fun. Some fun theoretical questions. I like that. I don't know why the like outfit popped in my head. Because it was like, cause I was thinking about, you know, what I would, like if, you know, because I wear pretty much like a jeans and t-shirt pretty much all year long. Obviously, except for the summer when it's hot out, you know, it's always shorts and t-shirt, you know.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, why, you know, why do I always go back to that? I think it was just that, you know, it's like the versatility of it. It's widely acceptable in society, right? So like if you wear jeans and t-shirt, you can go out to dinner. You know, obviously you're not going out to like a fancy restaurant, but like you can go out to dinner in jeans and t-shirt. I go to work in jeans and t-shirt. You know, I can work in the shop in jeans and a t-shirt. I can mow the lawn in jeans and a t-shirt. So it's like a very widely acceptable thing. And it's also, you know, like I like the fit of it. It feels comfortable.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, and that's also like a time period thing, because that's like our time period, because, you know, 100 years ago, that wouldn't be what people wear every day. You know, it would be something completely different. So I was trying to think about that. I was like, okay, well, what would I do if I was, you know, if I could choose anything to wear every day? Like, what would be the most, like, I think in my mind, it's a more of a question about versatility. You know, what's the most versatile item of clothing I could wear that can do all the things I want it to do, you know? And I think that's like, just blue jeans have come to a place where they're acceptable in all situations.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love them. Yeah, for the longest time, Corinne did not like wearing jeans. She still doesn't really love it, but she has a few pairs. But she almost, like, for like a couple years, she was just like, wear a pair of like tights, you know, or like, you know, leggings or whatever, and a t-shirt. Like, that was her go-to. Yeah. But I'm like, you gotta wear jeans. They're the best. Cool. All right. Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Anything else? Anything about all those people heading to Blade Show? Hopefully you have fun down there, and post lots of pictures so we can see what's going on. We love to see everybody's stuff. And if you're going to Blade Show and you're thinking about us at Blade Show, then maybe take a picture and send it our way, and, you know, tell everyone down there that we say hi, because we'll be missing everybody.
Yeah.
You got a recommendation tonight, Diff?
I was looking through. I'll just do the old. I'll just for a. The general good of the public, I'll say Meat Eater's back with new episodes on YouTube, like the full hunts and stuff, and they're really good.
How is it that, like, you keep saying they're back, but it's like once every 2 months you're like, they're back with more episodes? So does that just mean they never go away? It's just when you end up watching them again, you're like, oh, sweet.
I think they did the last season like 5 months ago. Now they're
okay.
I mean, they are constant now with different videos, but like the Meat Eater with Steve Rinella,
right?
That comes out every 6 months or whatever.
It's just for the good of the audience.
That's right. Go check out Meat Eater if you haven't done it for a while.
All right, nice, good original recommendation. I like
that.
Hey,
you know me.
You know me. You're like, all right, I'm gonna recommend Deadwood.
Deadwood, Shogun.
I'm gonna recommend Clarkson's Farm. The Long Way Round, The Long Way Down,
The First Symphony.
Yeah, right. fucking Beethoven.
Beethoven. Yeah, that's me.
All right. Yeah, well. All right. Well, my recommendation this week is on Instagram. It's Jesse and Katie. So it's Jesse and Katie, JesseandKatey. Jesse and Katie. Jesse and Katie are two of my friends from college. So Jessica Unterhalter and Katie Troon. And they are a collaborative mural painting team, and they've been doing it since like a few years after college. Dev, you know the mural on the wall on Union Brewery when you're driving downtown? The big arc, big arcing colors. That's them. Yeah, so they did that. Not the dots that have all the names of the companies, but on the if you're heading south, it's the wall that's facing north. On that side of Union
Brewery. They didn't just do the recent
the mural outside of Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Yes, that's them.
Oh, they did that?
Yep, right across the street from Camden Yards on the convention center.
Oh, right on. Yeah, yep. We just had a, I mean, we show a video of them during the game of a few times we had a whole thing and we put them up on the board.
Yep. So that's Katie and Jess. It's funny because they go by Jesse and Katie, and I always called them Katie and Jess, and I feel like everyone called them Katie and Jess in college. But I was really close to both of them. Like, they were really good friends of mine. They lived just a few doors. They lived two doors down from where Steve lived, right there on 1701 Bolton.
Yeah, yeah.
They lived at 1703 Bolton. So the summer, the second semester of my junior year, Nicole did a summer abroad in London. And so I had like a semester where I was like I was single, you know, except for I wasn't dating, but I had no responsibilities of having a partner around, So because of that, I just went to all the parties. I slept on people's couches. Like, I was able to kind of live the bachelor life without having to think about, oh, do I go back to somewhere and sleep in a real bed with my girlfriend? You know, it was like, I could kind of just wing it. And so I spent a lot of time at Katie and Jess's, and I spent a lot of time at Steve and Chris's, at the time it was Trevor living there with Carrie and KK and a few of those people, and Brandon occasionally, you know, like, and Brandon and Lauren, they all lived in that area right there. But yeah, Katie and Jess, they're really good friends of mine. So I spent a ton of time with Katie and Jess, and I'd seen them over the years, like doing different stuff. They both worked at the farmer's market downtown under 83. So I'd see them there occasionally, but yeah, then I think I saw the mural on Union Brewery, and that was the first time I saw one of their big murals, but they've kind of blown up, and they do murals all over the country. It's crazy. And they just did the big mural outside of Camden Yards for the Orioles.
Yeah, on the convention center. No, that's great. Yep. It's cool. I saw it. I mean, I drive by it all the time, but we also, we had a big,
like a video unveiling.
Like I said, about them doing it, and they were there, and
that's awesome.
Got them up on the board. Cool, man. We should get them on that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And they're just a blast. They're both so super positive, super fun.
Do they still live in Baltimore?
I don't know. I know that they do stuff all over the country, so I don't know. I think they're kind of, like, they may be kind of semi-transient, you know, based off of like what they're doing, because they're going all over the place and doing stuff. Yeah, they posted. They said, "It was such an honor to paint a mural for the Baltimore Orioles. We're thrilled about how the piece, which is called Oopa Boopa, OOPPOBOOPPO, Oopa Boopa, turned out, that we finally got to work in our hometown." So I guess they've done some other stuff. Yeah, thanks for an awesome opportunity. So it went to the Gaia Street Art and Baltimore Convention Center, and they said the big stinky cheddar, aka the Orioles, play ball. So. And I commented on theirs, but they do these really beautiful, like, big colorful murals that are kind of abstract, but kind of, shapes and, or geometric shapes and things, and just really beautiful, like, color and these kind of overlapping shapes and patterns. So, check them out on Instagram, Jesse and Katie. They're doing really well. I think they've got 35,000 followers on Instagram, so they're doing well. But I sent them messages today.
People paying them to do big art. That's good.
Right, exactly. Giant commissions. Yeah, so they're doing well. I just sent them a message saying that I loved it and I miss them, and they reached back out. They were like, "Dustin, we love you." So I was like, "Oh." So nice. They're really good friends of mine. So yeah, and like I said, every time I'd see, I occasionally see one or the other, like, at the farmer's market in the last like 10 or 15 years. So I haven't seen them in a couple years.
We should have them on.
We should. That would be great. And then we can talk about just like killer art and doing stuff all over the country, and then reminisce about our college years.
Heck yeah.
Cool. All right. We're good?
All good.
All right. Well, thanks guys for hanging out. Sorry we missed last week. We were shooting the sewing machine video, and I got a little later than we thought. Although I was ready to do the podcast. I was sitting here. I had it open. I sent the link, and then you sent me a comment, and you're like, "Hey, think about not doing the podcast later than I thought." And I was like, "That's fine.
Maybe I'm not doing anything.
Maybe not." So I had already written, like, on my little note sheet here, the episode 175. So I just pulled it out again today and used the same piece of paper. All right. Well, guys, thanks. So, thanks so much for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. Make sure you don't forget to, head over to YouTube and check us out there. Check out the new sewing machine video and let us know what you think. And if you are a sewer or someone who knows things about sewing machines, and you see something blatantly obvious that I'm doing wrong, or if you have any good advice, like I've gotten a lot of, please let us know in the comments. Like and share and do all those fun things. And then you can also follow Devin and I both on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at Art of Camera Guy. See what's going on the day-to-day basis. And hopefully everybody comes down. I'd love to see some people. And if you do listen to the podcast and you're in if you're at the Makers Festival on Saturday, then stop by and say hi and let me know that you listen, because it's always awesome to hear from people that we know are listening. It's good to put a face to the ears. I don't know if that's the right thing, but like, you know, there are people that I know are listening each week. And so it's good to know that, you know, I can imagine those people sitting out there in their vehicles or whatever, in their, you know, with their headphones in their shop listening, and we're keeping them company. So, and lastly, for all those people that support us over on Patreon, we really, really appreciate it. And if you want to support us there and you think that, you know, giving back, I guess, a little bit, you know, it definitely helps and we appreciate it. You can go to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. I think for like as little as $1.
You can pay for our Blade Show table.
Yeah, right. We'll just hoard that money until next year and bam, Blade Show table sponsored by the Patreons of Art of Craftsmanship.
See, now we're cooking.
Yeah, right. Now we got a plan. Yeah, let's go do a GoFundMe. A GoFundAR trip. All right, guys. Everybody, thank you all so much for listening. Devin, it's always a pleasure. Yeah. Everybody else, we will talk to you next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.